Sports Day, thanks to Kia. Kia EV6 and Sportage, Cars of the Year. And Toolkit Depot. Gear up for winter at Toolkit Depot.
Great to have your company here on Sports Day. Me, Carl Langdon, and Mark Reddings with you. 133-882 is our number. If you want to have a dig at something or someone, dial before you dig the first essential step. And what's hot for you, thanks to the Dardanup Butchering Company's Taste of the Dardanup Valley Spring Lamb. What we do know in our news headlines, thanks to Polaris, is that Tim Kelly won't be playing in the Derby. Skeet, you wouldn't be surprised by the outcome there, would you? Welcome, mate.
Yes, great to be here, Carl. Yeah, there's one case done and dusted, but there's another one that's in progress as we speak. An hour of evidence, and it's all to do with the Patrick Cripps collision, contact with Callum Archie from the Brisbane Lions. Now, Cripps's lawyer has come out and said at the tribunal, this was a very even contest with milliseconds in it. The consequences of impact do not determine the reasonableness of an action. Concussion is a serious issue in sport, but it's not to be explained away by blaming players all the time. On occasion, there will be injury. Players can and do get hurt. Now, I thought, after seeing it a few times over the past 24 hours, 2 weeks, most likely, and that seems to be where the MRO landed. You have seen some vision that you think gives him a half chance to get off this tonight.
Oh, no, not a half chance. I reckon he gets off.
How?
I mean, well, the front-on vision is completely different to what I'd seen broadcast on the news in that 10-second clip or maybe 5-second clip that you get to see. So that was all the action from behind. But when you see the front-on shot, you can see that his arms are firmly outstretched to try and win the footy. And yes, he makes contact with his shoulder and he's in the air, but he was entitled to contest the ball. And I think the incident occurs with an aerial contact with both players, and there was no doubt from that front-on vision that I saw also that he had his eyes firmly fixed on the ball, and not once did his eyes deviate across to Archie. So I think that given you take that into consideration, it wasn't a bump. Yes, it turned out that he made contact with the shoulder to his opponent's head, but I don't know that it was a deliberate bump, and for that reason, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt, and he plays on.
Well, what about the result of the action?
There's going to be incidents.
No, but you may say that. But the result of the action is significant because Willie Rioli on Matt Rowell earlier this year.
Same deal. No,
it's not the same deal because Rowell played on. He played on, and for whatever reason, whether he was hit in an area that didn't produce concussion, for whatever reason that is, there was a concussion issue here and the player went off the ground for the rest of the match, and he'll miss, of course, next week. So that, and it's a question mark as to why he will get off on that basis. If the player is concussed, that is, I'm sure, taken into consideration.
Yeah, look, there's no doubt that will be taken into consideration, but there is going to be football accidents and incidents of contact sport. But he jumped in the air to contest the footy. He didn't jump in the air to choose to bump. And from that front-on vision, which you can firmly see where his arms are outstretched when he had his eyes on the footy, he didn't just deliberately come in and try to elbow the bloke in that or shoulder charge the bloke in the head in that contest, Cripps I'm talking about. In the same way that Rioli, when he jumped in the air, he ended up bracing for contact because he couldn't mark the ball.
But you thought at the time, and so did I thought he's in trouble here.
Yeah, and so for the same reasons I think that Cripps has an opportunity here is the same argument that I'm putting forward. I know the outcome's different, but if he didn't have as hard as a cat's head, I reckon he would have been running around, might have been a little bit like Archie. I'm talking about Rowell in that case. The other thing that I asked today, Skeet, was around the Commonwealth Games. And I know that we're going to be having a chat to Priya Cooper a little bit later on in our program, but who was your biggest or what was your biggest moment out of the Birmingham Commonwealth Games? And I've had a few people that have sent in their comments. We've got some positive and negative ones here. Mark says the end. That's what he said. The thing that Jeff asks is Hoare, who won the 1500 metres. Yep. Of course, that hasn't happened since Herb Elliott in the, 1956, I think it was, 1958, when it was called the Mile. But he says, is there still a place for these games? That was the bigger question that that Jeff is asking on here. There's a few others, 100% Hoare in the 1500, Ollie Hoare bowl, but I'm pleased that it's over, says Brad. Someone said JK kicking 8 goals during the Commonwealth Games in his final game. Jess Stenson, very tough course and dictated it from the quarter into the race. Hoare a close second. And Brad says the closing ceremony.
Mm. Well, I would say, look, and there is some question marks over the Commonwealth Games and the future of it. That's from people that have no great interest in what is happening over there in Birmingham, but for the athletes, and that's primarily, and the numbers for TV have been good, so the athletes themselves embrace it. They don't just want to be going to Olympic Games every 4 years. I mean, they're on that cycle, you're looking at potentially one, two Olympic Games in your lifetime. Without Commonwealth Games, you get World Championships. But no, this is a big occasion for the Australian athletes. So off the back of what you just asked, I'm inclined to go towards our team sports and how we performed in those areas. When you think of our hockey team, 7-0, by the way, overnight. Fantastic result to the men. Our cricketers getting a gold medal. Our netballers, likewise. The team sports for me, through the course of the Com Games, even though I'm not sure that cricket in my heart of hearts should be in the Commonwealth Games, I thought that was great to see those teams rewarded for such success.
Well, what was your highlight, and do you consider it something that you want to see continue in its same way, shape and form? We do have the Commonwealth Games heading to Australia next in 2026. 1-3-8-82. I'd love to hear from you on that front. So just some of the other news headlines for Polaris. Polaris, Australia's number one selling side-by-side brand. We'll keep you up to date with Patrick Cripps. At the moment, they are deliberating the penalty. So that's where that is at right now. So we'll keep you up to date with that. Tim Kelly out for a week. He was unsuccessful. And Josh Kennedy, the Sydney version, he retired today. 190 games, 16 seasons for Hawthorn, and of course in more recent times the Sydney Swans Premiership back in 2012. Three-time All-Australian. He is going to stay and play hopefully some other part in the rest of the season, but right now hamstring injury in the VFL.
Yeah, he's hoping to be back for the back end of Sydney's finals campaign, which is every possibility to be deep in September. So how extraordinary, within the space of 48 hours, two Josh Kennedys almost bowing out in terms of retirement, that Josh from Sydney will get that opportunity. Speaking of retirements, in the Subiaco, five-time premiership player Lachlan Delahunty has announced this will be his last season with the Lions. I think he wants to get through to Kyle Horsley's 150th game. He's been a wonderful player at waffle level. Five premierships, as I say. I think seven-time state representative, also a Sandover medalist. And sadly for East Fremantle today, I saw this injury. Blaine Bokhurst, midfielder, could win the Sandover medal, or could have won the Sandover medal given his form. He went down with a knee injury against West Perth at the weekend. ACL knee reconstruction, gone for the rest of the season. So the Sharks unable to take a trick when it comes to player availability.
What was your biggest moment out of the Birmingham Commonwealth Games? 1-3-8-82 is the number. Kim, who sent in an SMS, says the 1500 metres, Carl, is one of the best Australian victories of many years. No other moment comes even within cooey of it. Stunning, says Kim, as we go to David out in Belmont, who's going to join us first just ahead of the break. It's 6:15 already. Time flies when you're having fun. G'day, Dave.
G'day. Look, I'm just wondering if we're talking about something that won't happen. Once Albanese converts us to a republic, there'll be no Commonwealth Games, so this could be the last one we've had.
Yeah, well, David, it's got to go to a vote.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
we can go to a vote next week. So you can go to vote in the next 12 months, so it could be done before 2026.
Well, David, and look, I've got to be honest with you, I'm a Republican, so I would vote yes, but I'd be staggered if we vote in the affirmative. So you think we're going to vote to go to become a republic, do you?
And if we do, then there'll be no Commonwealth Games. So maybe we're talking about something that's the last event.
Yeah, well, it's a lot of what-ifs there, because Albanese's got to try to push it, and B, it's got to get across the line. But, yeah, it'll end if the Commonwealth does come to its conclusion and the Queen becomes more a distant part of our constitution as opposed to what it is now. Well, thanks for your call.
Well, what would you like to see happen, Dave? Would you like to see that happen?
I think we've got a stable political system, and when you look around the world at some alternatives, I'd much rather to have what we've got now in the Westminster system than go to Ukraine and Russia, China and Taiwan and all the other sort of things that are happening. So I'm pretty happy to stay with a stable system.
Yeah. All right. Good on you, mate.
And the Commonwealth Games.
Yeah, I think so. Look, no, David makes a good point. I'm not sure Albanese got in that path, but that is a possible outcome. Look, it's going to be hard to get the Republic off the ground. I know that blokes like Peter Fitzsimons and Eddie Maguire, and so I support it, but I don't think it's going to happen. Donnie's in Spearwood. Hi, Donnie.
Good evening, boys. Look, a couple of things. Bobby Williams and Zach Langdon, that should be dropped this week. When Jamieson, when he was rocking, we were winning more than when Bailey was rocking the middle while Nick Knapp was out. And now, also young fella, Jamieson, he can play down the back as well. Now that Kennedy's out, so we'll shove young Edwards down forwards and bring young Williams there, bring Jamieson in and drop Williams and Langdon and bring young Isaac Winder in. I mean, young Winder, he gets a game or two, then he gets dropped and all that. I mean, the second year in, I mean, Langdon's been in there, given a chance time after time, and, you know, he's not up to it. Simple as that. But, you know, we've got two games to go. Give these young kids a go.
Thank you, Donnie. Yeah, just going on to what you said, Langdon, disappointing. We talked about him. He hasn't really come across from the Giants and done enough to keep his place, I think, long-term. 8 disposals at the weekend. Bailey Williams is the interesting one. He kicked a point, 5 disposals, helped out in the ruck, of course, with Nick Natt. What is he next year? What is he? If Nick Natt is fit, is he a backup ruckman? Is he a forward? I'm not sure.
Well, the same question is being asked about Luke Jackson because he's only kicked half a dozen goals as well this season. They're probably more ruckmen than they are forwards right now, to be honest, with the impact they're having on the scoreboard. That's the judgment I'm going to make. But at the same time, I think Nick Natanui is the one in question to play this weekend. So I think it's more likely that Jamieson comes back in for Nick Natanui than he does for Bailey Williams, because if you look into the future, I reckon Nick Nat's pulled up pretty sore after the weekend. I think there's question marks around whether he plays this week or not. And I think it's probably more likely that Jamieson comes in for him. And I think that what they've got to keep on doing is exposing Williams, because they know what they're going to do with Natanui next year. So do they put him on ice like they have with the others and focus on 2023? Logically, I'm thinking yes, because he's not going to be going down to Geelong next week. So why not bring the young players in, give them a couple of more games, get some games under their belt, experiment a little bit more with them, maybe toss them around in the roles that you've just discussed with Bailey Williams, maybe put him at centre-half forward and see whether he can stand up there as the Josh Kennedy and be the target, and bring back in Jamieson and play him in the ruck role and give him the run at it.
Well, there's no Kennedy, obviously, so that is a chance, not so much full forward, but let's see whether Darling and Williams, for the interim, for the next two matches, can work as forwards. We saw a couple of chances late for Bailey running into open goal. Obviously, the snickometer got him in the end on the goal line, and then he missed a chest mark diving to the ground about 30 metres out. So those two moments would have been nice for him late in the game, but you're right, probably give those players the chance, providing, of course, and it did look like Nick Natt was labouring a bit at times.
I just want to see Williams, and Nick Natt has never been able to do it in his whole career, charge out from the goal square, leading, jumping and taking the footy at full stretch up above your shoulders like JK's done for however many seasons. That's what we want from a key leading forward, like Peter Sumich, on the lead, fast lead, bang, clunk it. That's what the Eagles have to find, and they've got to experiment and find it either within their walls. If not, they've got to get someone from outside, which I'm sure will be a massive focus. It's 20 after 6, 133-882. I want to know what your favourite moment was out of the Commonwealth Games. Do you agree with a few of the other listeners that it was the 1,500 metres, or was it something else? Your calls after this, as well as a dig. It's dig night if you want to have a crack at someone tonight.
Sports Day, thanks to Kia. Kia EV6 and Sportage, Cars of the Year. And Toolkit Depot. Gear up for winter at Toolkit Depot.
Now, heaps of calls, and it sounds like that we can still participate in the Commonwealth Games even if we do become a republic. So, Heater tells us he's had 17 calls out there in the foyer.
Yeah, and we had the call, I think, from David, who said that once Albanese, if he decides to get rid of the republic or push the republic agenda, that Comm Games can't be held in Australia. Well, that's not quite the case. Well, I'm not sure of the logistics. You and I are clearly not destined for political life in the short term, because there are nations that competing who are in a republic setup, including, I think, India has been mentioned amongst others. So, yeah, there's a gap there. I'm not sure the reasons of that, of who's eligible and who's not because of republican status. But anyway, that...
Mate, I'd just much rather argue some of the other politics locally where, you know, the poor old pensioner can't even go out there and earn a quid, otherwise they lose half their pension. Anyway, don't get me started. Paul in Madeley. G'day, Paul.
Yeah, g'day, boys. I won't comment on the Commonwealth Games because I feel that's like giving up grade cricket to play a game in your backyard. You know, with half the world not there, I just don't see the value. But I wanted to mention about JK. He did a phone interview last week and he was very kind and said, look, I was pretty fortunate with the 8. I'm paraphrasing here, but, you know, the boys were good enough to feed me. And I'm like, yeah, JK, that's the point. That's what they should have been doing all year. Very kind of him to say it that way, but that's actually what they should have been doing all year.
Yeah, I mean, bottom line is they could try and feed him, but he still was good enough to get past his opponent or beat his opponent, take the mark and then finish, which, to be honest with you, is the major concern going forward. Jack Darling is a proven forward, proven goal kicker. Outside of that, at the West Coast Eagles, at the moment, there's no one.
They didn't, and you and I, if I went back and replayed our call, they didn't execute going forward on a few occasions well at all when they chose to go the Kennedy-Darling options deep when Waterman was clear by 40 metres on one occasion, and they just totally ignored him, and they would have been having shots on goal. And it could have been the difference between winning and losing the game, in my view. They had supply. They had a lot more supply inside 50, and they didn't execute as well, whilst also celebrating the wonderful career of a teammate. I think that they still could have got his fair share, as well as maybe coming away with the points, and in the end they didn't. Thanks, Paul. Jeff, g'day.
Hi, Carl. Hi, Ski. Yeah, I want to have a bit of a whinge about the coverage of Channel 7 on JK's game. When the game ended, Channel 7 stopped at 5 o'clock and we didn't get to see the coverage in the room, him doing the lap of honour. And he went back, I mean, they went to the Commonwealth Games. And I know what you're probably going to say, oh, well, get Foxtel. Well, there's a lot of people out there that can't afford Foxtel. And because it was such an epic game, couldn't they just another half an hour and get to see all that?
No, good call, Jeff. Look, I've had a bit to do with Channel 7 doing post-match coverages of after-matches at Optus Stadium, and we looked at trying to do that, but the Commonwealth Games was the issue. So on that basis, we try, but obviously there are commitments with the games. As for Fox, I'm not sure that Fox stayed all that long after the final sight. Well, not saying the final sign, but they didn't stay for that element of the coverage, which I think they go to the bounce, don't they, Carl?
I think they stayed until he got chaired off.
Yes.
And so, then they didn't stay for the lap of honour.
Yeah, so
like
we would love to have done, through seven, I would have loved to have done that, but this was one match that we were unable to. So off the back of that, yeah, Fox went and did their thing, but I completely understand, Jeff, your frustration. And yeah, it was a really nice moment. Hopefully the 50,000 there, most of them stayed, by the way, for the end lap of honour, but it was, 5 o'clock was the cut-off time for them on this occasion.
And in the end, you've got commercial television arrangements with commercial partners, and that dictates where you go and what you have to do, unfortunately, Jeff. So, but I do feel your dig, mate. There's no doubt about that. It's a pity you weren't there, because for those that were there, it was something incredible. And, you know, I haven't seen as many people stay back after a game for a long, long time, to be perfectly honest.
Getting out of the car park, everything was chockers about an hour after, because everyone had stayed for that extra half an hour. But terrific occasion, yeah. Unfortunately, Jeff, you didn't get to see all of it on the TV. Karen is in Lansdale. Hi, Karen.
Yeah, my Commonwealth Games highlight has to be the two girls that didn't let the COVID get in the way of their gold medals.
The cricketer?
The cricketer, Talia McGrath.
Yep.
And also Kelsey Lee Barber.
That's right, yeah.
She had it just before the game.
It's interesting, isn't it? The Commonwealth Games rules, which allowed, in essence, countries to have a say or have the final call, Carl on and Karen on who was fit enough or well enough to compete. And that was an essential reason why perhaps a couple of players, a couple of gold medalists who had COVID ended up being able to compete.
Yeah, well, without doubt, when it comes to Kelsey Lee Barber, who's playing, she's individually competing all on her own, but when it comes to the cricket, might have been a little bit different.
It was funny with the social distancing.
Oh, it was hilarious, wasn't it? And we will be having a chat a little bit later on the program to Patria.
Some news coming through. Heater, our executive producer, just put on the screen, the Patrick Cripps ban has been upheld. Elected to bump instead of reaching his arms out for the ball. So on that basis, Carl, it is, to my knowledge, waiting for confirmation, but we think still a 2-week ban will apply on this. So he's going to be out for 2 weeks, the rest of the home and away season.
Well, it just says guilty at this point. So it just says he will miss the two matches. They've upheld the decision. So that was handed out by the MRO, Michael Christian. Tribunal Chairman Jeff Cleason said the incident fell into the bumping of an opponent category. So that's the reason he's given here.
Patrick Cripps out of contention for the Brownlow medal and out for the rest of the home and away season. Blue supporters, some more reason for concern.
He did go on to say, he entered, and this is I quote from Gleeson, he said he entered the contest at speed and saw a player in his peripheral vision. He's assuming here. And saw the player in his peripheral vision. Left his feet and bumped Archie at high speed. He should have contested the ball differently. He could have taken the ball with his arms outstretched, so there was no act of bumping at all. I reckon he did have his arms outstretched. I don't think he saw the player necessarily in his peripheral of vision because he was actually looking at the ball, and I wouldn't be surprised if Carlton appealed. There you go. We'll clear a commitment, come back on the other side, take more of your calls, 133-882 at 6:30.
Sports Day, thanks to Kia. Kia EV6 and Sportage, cars of the year. And Toolkit Depot, gear up for winter at Toolkit Depot.
Welcome back to Sports Day, 133-882. If you would like to have your Wednesday wine or a dig, not Wednesday, is it? It's Tuesday. No, that's tomorrow. a dig, the first essential step.
You're having a dig, not at me, but at the process, because you think he should have got off. Patrick Cripps, that is. By the way, if you've just joined us, the AFL Tribunal has upheld that appeal by the Blues, and at this stage, Cripps to serve a two-week suspension or two-match suspension.
Yeah, look, I'm just surprised about what, and this is purely on what the tribunal chairman has actually stated here, and that is that he chose to bump. He clearly didn't choose to bump, in my view, because he has his hands out on that front-on vision, which I saw for the first time today, and I think what Nick Revolt was commenting on last night, is that he felt that he had his eyes, his arms out, his eyes on the footy, which is completely different, I think, to someone deliberately taking someone out. But anyway, we'll talk about that some more, and everyone's entitled to their opinions on that. That's hot thanks to the Donut Butchering Company's Valley Spring Lamb, available at WA's best restaurants, hotels and cafes.
Let's go to a special guest, a representative of junior football. In fact, a Josh Kennedy fundraiser event, which she'll explain more about. Serena McVee joins us on the line. Hi, Serena. How are you going?
And hello, guys.
What have you got to tell us about junior footy, and what's ahead for you with this fundraiser?
So the Kingsway 9, 10, 11 girls will be heading off to Melbourne on their first ever team tour trip. To my knowledge, this is the first ever all-girls team touring trip in the Subiaco district and possibly even the state. So we'll be holding a fundraiser on Wednesday the 31st of August, where we'll be hosting Josh Kennedy from the Eagles, Damian Martin from Wildcats, and Paul Hazelby, a Freo Docker, for the night, where they'll talk about their professional sporting careers.
No, I reckon they'll be talking about more than that, just quietly. There'll be a few stories that will be rolled out there, Serena. Now, you've played a little bit of Rogers Cup and AFLW yourself. Now, obviously, this is something that has been very, very popular when it comes to the girls. It's amazing how much women's footy is taking off in our beautiful state. And Kingsway Junior Football Club has a really good program for young girls to get involved in.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have teams all the way up from Auskick to year 10 and 11, and hopefully implementing a senior girls team next year.
And what about this project specifically? Who came up with the idea to raise some money and get this off the ground? Because it's not an easy task, and we know that dollars are hard to come by and flights are expensive, and we know everything at the moment's going through the roof. But who do you think, who's the person? Is it yourself, Serena, who's done the hard yards here?
Oh, no, definitely. It's definitely been a collective group effort. We all decided that if the boys are going, why not the girls as well?
Now, are you only 18?
19.
So how come you have chosen to go down the coaching path? I believe you're assistant coach at your club. Just give us a bit of an insight into, you know, your path here.
Yeah, so I absolutely loved playing. I played junior footy for a year, and then I went off and played at Subiaco for a couple of years, and I was quite lucky where I got a couple female coaches who really inspired me to go down that football pathway, and I just wanted to give back to the girls coming up through juniors and just really try to inspire them and sort of lead them on the path to a career in football.
Are you still having a kick yourself, given that you're only still young? Yeah, where are you having a run around these days?
Oh, I get a, on Wednesday nights, I get a run around with the Masters at the club.
Yeah.
Terrific. Yeah. That's great. Now, Serena, people, if they're driving around or just jumped in the car or turned the radio on, just repeat, when's the fundraiser event, time, place, et cetera, and so we can get along and hopefully get a good crowd there for you?
So it'll be Wednesday the 31st of August. It will be held at the Kingsway Sporting Complex in the club rooms. It will run for 2 hours from 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock. And if anyone's wanting to buy tickets, you can jump onto our Facebook or Instagram pages and just click the link and it will take you straight to the ticket.
And the doors open around 6:15 if you want to get along there and catch your Uber and get a couple of drinks in and listen to Josh Kennedy, Damian Martin and Paul Hasby. Hey, good on you, Serena, and good luck with your endeavours too. And thank you very much for letting us know about it tonight.
Perfect. Thanks for having me, guys.
Serena McVee here on Sports Day. So they do a great job up there at Kingsway, don't they? In fact, we are going to hunt down another little story because we heard last night, wasn't it?
I was looking on Facebook, and this is to do with one of the teams, I think this is the fourth in the men's, where they've got basically a team at the weekend that was filled with men of fathers and sons. I think 18 of the 22 were father-sons. So that's a terrific story. And any of those community footy stories, get in touch with us, 133882, and we can try and give your club or give your project a bit of publicity because we know it's hard. Community footy is always difficult to raise funds. And well done to Serena and all the crew up there at Kingsway. Great job they're doing. And hopefully they get the funds required.
Pump up your club. We can do that right here. You can gear up this winter with the biggest range of top brand outdoor power gear at the Toolkit Depot. Don't dig yourself into a whole lodge of free dial before you dig inquiry. Do you reckon there'd be a few having a dig at Ricky Stewart for his one-match suspension? Fined $25,000 by the NRL as well. Over the week, gutted dog sledge towards Jamin Salmon, who was playing for the Panthers on the weekend. Any surprise about that penalty?
Not really. The NRL has come out and said that it's just beyond the pale that he would say something like that in a public forum. He's actually been sent away from the Raiders camp for a week, so he can't make contact with players, can't attend training, and so Ricky just has to cool his heels for a little bit. By the way, some sad news. Umpire Rudy Kurtzen, South African umpire, many will know of him, passed away in a car accident, age 73, which is a number that we've known today because I lost my childhood boyhood crush today, Olivia Newton-John, to breast cancer. And it's an insidious disease. She hung around and battled it for 30 years, but unfortunately one of our greats in Olivia Newton-John, also age 73, has left us and left a huge legacy in the music, acting and entertainment industry.
Absolutely. Just lastly, back to the dig. Do you want to have a dig at Cameron Smith and Mark Leachman tonight? Because Cameron Percy has come out and said that they've signed with LIV Golf. That's in advance of the FedEx Cup playoff, which is on this weekend, which both of those two, I think, are at least going to be participating in. But he reckons it's a done deal. They're done and dusted, signed up.
I said this time last night
Cameron Percy?
It wasn't Cameron Percy, but he did say, look, he has signed, and it's on it. I don't think it's a huge revelation that he had signed, given his delay in confirming or denying that he's going to go to the LIV Tour. My contact did say he wants to get to world number one before that happens. Well, irrespective, we're looking at $100 million plus. And his time in the PGA might be short-lived. But if that's where it's heading, then Cam Smith is going to be heading in a different direction with his golf.
Just quickly, before we go back to some calls at 133882, if you'd like to join in and have your dig, if you want to talk about any of that. The injury update, thanks to SKG Radiology, care about your welfare and are now bulk billing. At the Freo Dockers, of course, Jai Amos is going to be out for the rest of the season, so he's been made inactive with that kidney injury. Nathan Fyfe still listed as 1 week away, so he won't be playing in the Derby. Sam Switkowski, I thought that he might be available, and he's listed as a test skate.
Yeah, he's got that stress fracture in his back. So I think he returns to training this week. I'm not sure he's going to be right for the Derby, to be honest. But after that, what have you got? Round 23 against the Giants and then the finals to come. So hopefully, and they need another small forward out there, he's the man to just bob up at the right time of the year.
Who replaces Matt Taberner? Who replaces the tall?
Well, Josh Tracy hasn't played a lot of footy recently. He hasn't actually kicked a lot of goals. So it's a question mark. Do they need it against the Eagles? Do they need that extra tool?
So just bring Banfield back? Is that the logical one?
Possibly. I mean, Rory Lobb's in ripping form. So that might be the answer on a wet Saturday night at Optus Stadium.
And what about the Eagles? So much inactive there with Alan Chesser, Cole Edwards. So their seasons are done. Joyce McGovern, his season is over. Dom Sheed's season is over. It could be Elliot Yeo's season over because he hurt his hamstring and then came back and hurt his calf. So he's gone from a hamstring to a calf injury. Petrocelli's still out for another couple of weeks. Cully suspended. He should be available. Or did he get two? No, he got two,
he got
didn't
two
he?
Weeks,
and
so
Kelly's out.
Kelly's
well.
Gone this week for a week. So
there's a couple of spots there.
There are, but I'm just looking
Kennedy
through.
Gone.
Connor West, by the way, out for the season with a wrist injury. I'm not sure if you mentioned him, but that's the list. It's just as long as it was about 3 months ago, Carl. So they'll be going back to the skin and bones of their squad to try and get through the last two rounds.
Well, who replaces Kennedy? Do we do what we suggested earlier and put Bailey Williams in a centre-half or Bing Jamison back in, particularly if Nick Natanui... I mean, even if Nick Natanui plays, is Williams the best placed to actually go into a key position forward? Or do they roll Jack Williams into the side, who's been toiling away in the WAFL? Because he's got the size. He mightn't have the level required just yet, but he's got the size.
Yeah, I've seen a bit of him in the waffle, and he's a long-term prospect, but he's one that, interesting, Jamison's out for the rest of the season, by the way, with that groin, so he won't be taking any further part in 2022. So what we need to find...
He's not on the list.
He's on the list I've got here. Oh, Callum Jamison, groin season, yeah.
He's just not on this list.
Yeah, so...
He's another one.
He's Gonski. So on that basis, yeah, probably Bailey Williams forward this week, but I like your thinking with Jack Williams. Can you expose him in a derby? Can you expose him against Geelong? He'd love to. Is he getting... is his footy at the right level to... Not to embarrass himself, to be exposed and set him back in his career by having a tough time at the office. I'd love to see him there, but whether he's ready or not, it remains to be seen.
We'll whip through a few of the other clubs shortly. We need to get to a commitment, though. SKG Radiology care about your welfare. They're now bulk billing Medicare rebatable services across all 20 locations. And if you'd like to talk about any of the other hot topics tonight, like Des in Yokine, you can do that thanks to the Dardanup Butchering Company. Taste of the Dardanup Valley Spring Lamb after this.
Sports Day, thanks to Kia. Kia EV6 and Sportage, Cars of the Year, and Toolkit Depot. Gear up for winter at Toolkit Depot.
Now we get back into the calls thanks to the Dardanup Butchering Company's Valley Spring Lamb, available at WA's best restaurants, hotels, and cafes. Thanks for waiting, Des. Welcome.
Hi, Des, a confused mob. I've been a cat for 73 years. I've been a Dockers member for 24, and I thought the worst piece of planning at the weekend was when they threw up the Dockers game as a replay, and then, before that, they had East Fremantle and West Perth, and I've been a garlic muncher since 1968 when I got here, and at the end of it all, Barrow opened his big gob and told everybody the result.
Oh, really?
Oh, hang on a second. Oh, sorry. We did the telecast of West Perth and East Fremantle on TV, and then we threw to the Bulldogs Fremantle game. We certainly didn't give a result on that. So you heard it on the news, though, did you?
No, I didn't hear it. Somebody came on the other night and said, "Congratulations, Barry, you opened your big gob again," because a few years back he did the same thing on telly. He gave the result just before the replay come on.
Yeah.
But somebody did come up the other night and said, "Well, congratulations, Barry, you told us the result before the game come on."
Yeah, it's a pain, isn't it? Look, I understand there's six games during the year. Long story short, Fox have got the deal where in WA they have to delay by 3 hours here in the West. In Barrow's situation, any new service...
If they're both being played at the same time, wouldn't it be logical to put the waffle... The
what, Des?
Big one on first?
Well, they couldn't,
they
mate.
Couldn't.
They couldn't.
There's a contractual obligation for six games, three of each team,
yeah,
I think it is,
right.
to
yeah.
put... I totally get your frustration. And I think Barrow, anyone doing the news, whether it's Paddy Barrow in the news, in that situation, you're sort of obligated to give the news... and the results, yeah.
Because it's a replay, essentially.
Exactly.
That's what
you're
watching.
So, look, it's a.
Yeah.
How do you say this politely?
Listen to us on 6PR. It's live.
It's a dog's dinner in terms of viewers.
Don't worry about watching. Listen, Desi, and we will bring you the action live all the time. All the Eagles and Dockers games, 100% live, mate. No delay, although sometimes we do get a slight delay. It just depends on the technology because that's how we're doing it a little bit these days. Thanks for your call, mate. That's his dig for the night.
Good on you.
Before you dig the first essential step, let's go to Shane.
G'day, Shane.
Hi, guys. How are you going?
Good, good. Gooseberry
Hello.
Hill. Yes. Well, Carl's laughing because yep. I grew up in Gooseberry Hill, and I love Gooseberry Hill, and it's nice and cold in winter, and it's bloody hot in summer. Shane, I'm sure you agree.
It is, and I can tell you it had 26 mil up here. So, over an inch.
What, is that in the last 24 hours?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
I've
cool.
got a little weather station, so I know it's right.
Good stuff.
So, look, I just got a real out there one, but I was just wondering, you guys know football a lot better than me, but why wouldn't you try a Barass or a McGovern as a forward, as the full forward to replace Kennedy? Now, I know they're good in the back line, but surely they're good at marking and would be good in the forward line.
It doesn't always – look, it's a really good idea, Shane, in theory. Tom Barass, there was a chance, and they used him in attack very briefly during the pre-season.
Two games.
And then, of course, he's gone back to – and look, he'll probably win the John Worsfold medal for the fairest and best this year at the club. So, in essence, that's his go. He's a defender. With McGovern, I'm not sure he's tailor-made as a forward. His intercept marking is good. They're not natural forwards, are they, Carl?
Well, I think that Barass is a player that could potentially be the replacement for JK because he can definitely mark the ball. He reads the play so well, as does Jeremy McGovern. I think if McGovern comes back in, they've got a dearth of tall defenders already in that team. They've got Harry Edwards, they've got Rhett Bazo, they've got Jamieson who can all go back. They don't have players right now that are ready to go forward. Now, Barass could go forward, as we saw in the preseason. The only reason why I didn't spend more time forward, and this is what I'm told very reliably, is because of what happened. And with the unavailability of a large number of players in their squad, which includes McGovern. So I think if the circumstances had been different, if there was a much better fitness level, and if COVID hadn't have struck when it did, I think that And players got themselves even worse shape physically that he would have been at some point used for it.
Possibly. But, Shane, I would be guessing that given Oscar Allen is fit and playing decent footy, which everyone hopes in 2023, that he and Jack Darling become the new double punch, 1-2 punch in attack. Now, not to say that Barass won't go forward or McGovern won't go forward, but I think ideally they get Allen hopefully playing some good footy inside attacking 50. And then you've got Barass, McGovern and Harry Edwards, those guys learning the trade down back. So not beyond the realms, but I think Oscar Allen is their number one pick as that big forward going forward.
Well, you're assuming that both of them stay fit. I think you'd want to have someone else in your repertoire there somewhere, and that's what the Eagles will need to develop or buy from another club or pick up through the trade. They are going to get a crack at a couple of early picks, and it's just where the focus is going to be. I think the main focus for West Coast is going to be around the middle of the ground, to be honest, because where I see there being a large gap with the age at the moment of a lot of their midfielders, a lot of them are getting pretty old. If you look at Redden, Shuey, Gaff, these sorts of blokes, they're close to the end than the start.
What about Ruckman, though? That's another issue which they don't really have the backup Ruckman at the moment. Well, when I say backup, in a year from now, they'll need a full-time Ruckman to replace.
Well, I'd go and get Strawn from Adelaide, for example. I'd go and get one of these blokes that actually has been on a list for a while, who's now a little bit more mature, because Ruckman don't – you look at all the Ruck premiership players that played there at the Hawthorn Football Club. Most of them came from somewhere else.
Well, McAvoy, Hale.
Vancouver's
to Richmond.
Yep. McAvoy, Hale, though, premiership players. And I think that – and if you look at Segler, who's been a mature player, has gone to a couple of clubs. It's why Hickey left and went to Sydney. So I think there's a better opportunity to actually buy a ruckman from another club who's not getting a game right now. And I think that is something that the West Coast Eagles will certainly explore in the not-too-distant future, depending on what Nick Natanui does. If he only doesn't want to sign a one-year deal, well, maybe he won't be at the club either. Back soon.
Sports Day, thanks to Kia. Kia EV6 and Sportage, cars of the year. And Toolkit Depot. Gear up for winter at Toolkit Depot.
Straight after the news that's coming up next here on 6PR, you're going to be in for a treat. The skipper of the Brisbane Broncos, Adam Reynolds, is going to join us. Trent Cooper in advance of the Freo Dockers scratch match against the Eagles this weekend as the curtain raiser prior to the Western Derby. And Petrea Thomas, the Commonwealth Games chef de mission, to join us, as well as Tennille Peschel, who has re-signed with our Perth Scorchers ahead of the WBBL season getting underway. All thanks to Kia, Australia's most wanted, the Kia EV6 and Kia Sportage. Cars of the year will be straight back after the news.
Sports Day, thanks to Kia. Kia EV6 and Sportage, cars of the year. And Toolkit Depot. Gear up for winter at Toolkit Depot.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Nice to have your company. Thanks to Elders Insurance. That's who bring us the program, your local football and community events. It's our way of giving back. And a bloke who we've been trying to hunt down for a little while now is Adam Reynolds, Brisbane Broncos skipper and halfback, joins us here on Sports Day. Adam, welcome, mate. How are you going?
Doing well, thanks.
Nice to chat, mate. I see that Tamir Martin is back into your back line, which is going to be good.
Yeah, he is. When he got his shot, he made the most of his opportunity. Obviously, picked up an injury a couple of weeks ago and opened the door back up to Tessie, who was playing some really good footy for us. The last couple of weeks obviously hasn't gone to plan, and Kevy's gone through his books and had a look at what was working well for us, and obviously Tamari pops back in there, so great opportunity for it.
Broncos have been through some tough times over the last couple of years. Adam, you've recently arrived, obviously, captain, and you've got the team humming along pretty well, albeit off a defeat last week.
Yeah, obviously, past few years has been a bit sour for the club. Such a proud club with a lot of great history, and rightfully so. It's been at some great heights, and, last couple of years have been pretty disappointing as an outsider looking in. Obviously getting there this year has been a great move for myself coming up from the south there, and loving every opportunity that I get.
Looks like you're going to be back at the business end of the season. How far can you go? Is this team achieving above expectations, or is just enjoying the fact you've been able to get some results and there's a nice chemistry amongst the group?
I always knew there was a bit of work to be done heading into pre-season. Obviously, results speak for themselves the last couple of years, but knew the talent that sat in the room there. It's a young, eager, enthusiastic squad that just wanted to be led but from the front, and needed a bit of guidance, and luckily that's where I've landed, and we've obviously enjoyed the season so far, albeit the last couple of weeks, but we've got a month in front of us now to get things right, and hopefully build heading into the semis.
So we've spoken about Martin back in the number one jersey. Brenko Lee comes into the centres and Billy Walters has been named as starting hooker, so there's a few changes made on the back of the loss last week.
Yeah, I think and Kevin needed to do that. Obviously, he wants to get a response out of the team. We haven't been playing to our potential. It's been pretty disappointing, to be honest. And it's a good shake-up for the squad. Obviously, no spots guaranteed in the team there. And obviously, everyone's got to perform to stay in the team. So he's looking for the reaction. And hopefully, we can give him that reaction this weekend.
Talking to Adam Reynolds, Brisbane Broncos captain, halfback, star of the NRL. Love to know your thoughts on Selwyn Cobbo, who is a young player, so exciting. Saw him get absolutely poleaxed in the Origin, but what is the potential of this bloke?
Yeah, obviously, pretty special kid. He's pretty shy, pretty timid around the boys. He's starting to open up. Still only a young kid who's learning the game. So, yeah, very, very excited to see where Selwyn can go. For us around him, to keep pushing him and keeping him motivated to go to greater heights. Obviously, he's achieved some success early in his career, and as young kids, they can get ahead of themselves at times, but Selwyn's pretty grounded, and no doubt he'll be continually pushing hard to get better.
Now, Adam, I've got a friend who has worked at the South Sydney Rabbitohs and said that in the nicest possible way, you're captain now, but you have been known to be a bit of a pest, a bit of a prankster around the group. Is that, have you put that in the shelf now that you're skipper?
That is completely untrue. I don't know where he got that from. No, I'm a kid at heart, mate. I love to have fun at training, but as soon as we cross that white line, I'm pretty switched on and focused. But downtime, you need to have a bit of fun and need to keep the group all together and on their toes, as Gracie would say, a bit of a prankster. So
absolutely,
a bit of fun.
Just moving on from that, interesting that you donned a microphone before a recent match against the Tigers, and some inner sanctum thoughts of you and a bit of banter, et cetera, with Fox Sports. Were you tentative about doing that, or was it something you're quite happy to share some of the thoughts in the rooms and the sheds before the game and the lead up to a match such as that?
Yeah, it's obviously a great insight for the fans to obviously experience what we or how we speak on the field, how we communicate with each other, and always open to giving back to the game. It's gave me so many great memories and so many great opportunities that, every chance I get to, show what I do on the field or, listen to a bit of the stuff mic'd up, I'm always willing to give back. So the game's been great to me, and you've got to be great to it back.
And Adam, what about reflecting back to that round 9 clash when you took on your old club, mate? You scored a try, you booted 6 goals during the match. You were one of the stars in the 32-12 victory. Did you cop anything around that scenario?
No, it was all fun and games, mate. Obviously, I knew at a point in time I'd have to come up against the old club. I've got so many great memories from there and some great friends that are still there. So it was a bit unusual, running out against them. Obviously, had the old home ground. The fans either cheering or booing, but it was obviously a great night for us as a club. We set out to go down there and do a job on them that obviously the team in the grand final last year, and we needed to perform well at that stage of the season. So for us it was more than just a game. It wasn't just a game for us. It was, about building into our season and, realising that we could be a top 18.
And individually, though, mate, did you approach it any differently? Did you think that you had to set out to have something extra to prove against your old mob?
No, not really. You know, that part of the season, we were sort of jostling with the other teams for that, to get into that eight position. So we just need to, do my job for the boys on the field. And, obviously pleasing to get across the try line. I don't get across too much these days. So any chance I take, I'll grab it. But there was no extra motivation or anything going into that game. I treat it like any others.
And talking about your old club and grand final last year, I don't want to head over tender territory, but how quickly do you put aside the disappointment of losing a GF? And obviously you were a hero in many parts, and then there were moments where you'd love to have back. How quickly can you put that behind you, Adam, and move on, which you did, to a new club?
I don't think you completely get over it. Obviously, I like to use it as a bit of motivation moving forward. I still, from time to time, reflect on that game and how I was feeling. And obviously, you don't want to have those feelings again as a player. So you can use those as motivation going forward and, something to drive you. To want to get better every day.
And obviously here in Western Australia, we've had State of Origin Rugby League. Where did you sit with a 2-1 win to the Queenslanders at the end of the day, albeit up at Suncorp and the atmosphere amazing? Did you have mixed loyalties at all?
Not at all, mate. I'm a blue through and through and always will be, albeit living here in Queensland. It's a lovely state. For the majority of the year, obviously when it turns into State of Origin, I'm not too friendly with it, but... No, obviously a great spectacle for our game, and as a fan watching it, obviously disappointed with the result, but the game itself was fantastic.
Thanks for joining us, mate. We appreciate your time. Good luck this week and good luck for the rest of the season.
No worries. Cheers. Thanks for having me.
Good on you. Adam Reynolds here on Sports Day, Brisbane Broncos skipper.
Yeah, they'll smash the Newcastle Knights this Saturday up at Suncorp Stadium. They've been a bit disappointing from time to time in the past month, but they've made some really good ground in the past 6 months, and Adam Reynolds, a Brisbane Broncos captain and playmaker, has been largely responsible for the rapid improvement.
Still right in the hunt for a top four finish, which is the great news there. Adam Reynolds joining us thanks to Elders Insurance, hands-on support for our local community. On the other side, we're going to come back and we're going to go to the AFL code, AFLW action. It's going to be Fremantle taking on West Coast in a curtain raiser this weekend before the Derby. It's a scratch match, but the AFL season for the girls is only a few weeks away, and Trent Cooper, the AFLW coach down at Freo, will join us next.
Sports Day, thanks to Kia. Kia EV6 and Sportage, cars of the year. And Toolkit Depot. Gear up for winter at Toolkit Depot.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Thanks to Repco Authorised Service. For expert car service, you can book online at repcoservice.com. And I can see that the AFLW tickets, the season, gets underway, and the tickets go on sale from 10 a.m. tomorrow, Wednesday, the 10th of August. And we will see a curtain raiser match between the Freo Dockers and the West Coast Eagles this weekend. Looking forward to that. It's a scratch match ahead of the girls' season, which starts a couple of weeks later. And the coach of Fremantle, Trent Cooper, joins us here on Sports Day. Welcome, mate. How are you going?
Yeah, thanks, boys. Thanks for having me there. Looking forward to another pre-season hit out before the real one in a couple of weeks later.
The new season's come around pretty fast, mate. Have you had a good chance to have a break and obviously get straight back into work?
Yeah, it was a pretty quick break, to be honest. And then we actually broke up our pre-season and gave the girls a full week away from the club, just to refresh, knowing that we're hoping to be playing finals again. So it becomes a long year, and we don't want to get into it being stale at all. So they come back to their credit in really good condition. So we're able to give them a week off a few weeks back, and we hope that will pay dividends later on in the year.
What's your approach to pre-season results? If you look at last weekend against Richmond, 63-point defeat, you would just say it's not relevant. But I suppose you want to get some guide as to how the group's going this weekend, at least.
Yeah, yes and no. We last year West Coast touched us up in the practice match, and I'm not a big believer in the preseason. Says a lot about what's going to happen in season. Coaches are trying different things. In saying that, the things that we've been training on and working on over the preseason, we could see some evidence of them improving, and that's a good sign for us. But we went away from our fundamentals, the things that make us really good. So it was really easy in review on Monday to point out the things that we just that aren't us, that we don't expect from our team, and we think we can train them quickly and we can rectify that very quickly as well, we hope.
Can you give us a look at how your squad, how your team's going to look for round one, and an update on Cara Antonio, who's undergone hamstring surgery?
Yeah, so Cara has had the surgery, so we'll wait for a surgical review on that to see how long that injury is going to be. It's a significant injury. At this stage, there is some hope that she can come back late in the season, but we'll have a look at that in the next week or two. And obviously, Michaela Morrison's out for the season with the ACL, and Michaela Tahakarena, she had shoulder surgery at the end of last year, so she's looking at a mid-season return. Apart from that, we're hoping everyone will be available round one. Hayley Miller has had calf troubles during the pre-season, and she's tracking very well to be available for round one. And then, hopefully, Kiara Bowers and Sarah Vera, who missed on the weekend due to the health and safety protocols, hopefully we'll have them having a good hit out this weekend.
How much change can we expect for your round one clash, given the players that you've lost and those that you've acquired?
Yeah, probably. I haven't really thought about how many debutants, but we probably have got, sort of three or four in the mix, which is exciting. And, some of those players had their chance on the weekend to impress, and some others, like Ola Lally's just arrived from Ireland. So she'll get a hit out this weekend, which would be her last game was at Croke Park in front of 46,000 people where they lifted the title, and then she had a 21st, and then she's over here, so it's been a whirlwind introduction for her. But we're not expecting too much from her straight away, but we'll give her a chance this weekend, and that'll be exciting to see her run around in her first game of Australian rules football.
It's amazing how much impact. I mean, I just look at the Kelly girls at West Coast, and to be perfectly honest, they've probably been two of their more consistent, better-performed players. It's amazing how much impact the Irish girls, and guys for that matter, actually have been able to have on our game.
Yeah, but I think particularly the girls, that their competition standard is very, very good, and it's sort of not far below the boys, whereas in AFLW, obviously starting from a long way back because we haven't had the history. Their girls' competition is very strong, and there's been a lot of good players come through, and I was lucky enough to be over there 3 years ago and to see the likes of Ola O'Dwyer, who's at Brisbane, and see her improvement to the point that she was All-Australian this year. And obviously we've got Anya Tai, who we're hoping for big things. We've also got Amy Mulholland on our list this year as well, who's been out in Australia for a couple of years. So they add something to it skill-wise, and they definitely add something to it cultural-wise as well. They're ripper people, the Irish, the girls that I've managed to meet over the short journey.
Now, goals for this year coming up this season. We know Gemma Houghton's flying the coop, but she led the goal kick in 2019-2021. Are you confident you've got players that can step up and fill the void?
Yeah, I think it'll be more of a sharing the load. It was disappointing on the weekend. I think we only had 19 inside 50, so our forward line didn't get a real good crack at it to see what they can do. But we think we're not looking at someone going, yep, they're going to be the player that's going to kick 15 goals for us this year. We think it'll be spreading of the load. Our midfield did well last year with Ebony Antonio and Hayley Miller hitting the scoreboard consistently. We're hoping for more of that. And we're hoping like Amy Franklin can have an uninterrupted season this year and hit the scoreboard a little bit as well. And then we've got the likes of Roxy Rue around the place as well, who we think's capable. So we think it's more going to be more of a sharing the load. We don't care who, we just think how many. So hopefully we can be kicking those six or seven goals a game, which tends to be a winning score in AFLW.
What about sharing your load, mate? I mean, this is the seventh season of AFLW. You've been engaged in it for a while now. And look, the AFL continues to invest in the women's game and the girls' game with the commitment to achieving the women's football vision, which we're all across for 2030. 94% increase for players in the recently announced 2022 action plan. $5 million investment into women's and girls across all aspects of community footy. And that includes from playing to coaching and umpiring and administering. And what about your area, mate? Is that something that you are continually seeing improve?
Yeah, definitely. The resourcing aspect, we're obviously hoping that the soft cap in the AFLW space will increase. It was difficult for clubs this year because they've been asked to sort of pay two soft caps in the one season. So, yeah, we're hoping that there's been increase there. We hope that that can improve the support that we can give to assistant coaches as well, and the hours that we can ask of them to in turn make the players better as well. So, yeah, there's a lot happening. At Freo, we've heavily invested in the welfare area this season, and sort of the mental side of the game, because we think, A, it's important for the players, just for their well-being, but also for their performance as well. So we've invested heavily there for this season, and we hope to be able to continue that and grow that going forward as well.
Now, I don't know if this was the question that Skeet was going to ask, because sometimes we've just got this mental telepathy that works, but my question is going to be across the whole of the 18 clubs in the competition. It's going to be in vogue for the very first time. What are you expecting the standard to be like?
Yeah, I think it'll be all right. I think I was concerned when they went from 10 to 14, and the standard, I thought it would drop, and the standard was a slight improvement. And I think it's going to be the same again. That obviously the talent gets thinned out, but the natural improvement in the girls will make it better. I know that our girls are just kicking the ball so much better. We can improve our game style based on the skills that they've got. And I think that'll be across the board. And yes, there'll be some sides who are going to struggle initially. But I think overall, people who are expecting or hoping for a drop in standard may not see it this year. And what will happen is from this year to next year, I think the standard will improve rapidly.
Coops, the good news is the telepathy between Carl and I isn't that good. My question to wrap it up was going to be, the pre-season, such a different one. Has it been lighter? Has it been more varied? How have you tried to keep things in a position where players are not going to be cooked by the start of the season or underdone?
Yeah, definitely. It's been a bit lighter. Maybe not so much volume, but the change of direction and the contact, we've definitely tried to reduce that aspect of it, which our girls hate because they love crashing in. And to be honest, may have been a bit to do with their performance on the weekend. They're craving for that contact and that hard training. But we've just had to be mindful of the fact that we don't want to be sort of charging round one. We want to be playing good footy at the end of the season. So we've had to adjust the loads a bit, which we think we've done pretty well, to make sure that we're up and going in November when the finals are on.
Thanks for joining us, mate. See you and the girls in action on Saturday.
No worries. Thanks a lot for that.
Good on you. Trent Cooper there from the Freo Dockers. And just repeating, tickets on sale from 10 a.m. tomorrow. The cost is $10 for adults. Free entry for patrons under the age of 18. And tickets will be able to be purchased at womens.afl/tickets.
Yes, another hit out for the Fremantle Dockers. And, of course, the first week of the AFLW season is at the end of August, so it is here before we know it.
Yep, absolutely. We need to clear a commitment because the unbelievable part is the Commonwealth Games are over. Done and dusted just like that. The Aussies winning 67 gold medals. Patria Thomas, Commonwealth Games chef de mission, will join us next here on Sports Day.
Sports Day, thanks to Kia. Kia EV6 and Sportage, cars of the year. And Toolkit Depot, gear up for winter at Toolkit Depot.
Welcome back to Sports Day, and it's fantastic to have Patria Thomas, who is our Commonwealth Games chef de mission. We had a chat to her prior to the games getting underway, and in the end, 67 gold medals, 57 silver and 54 bronze, and we topped the medal tally. Patria, welcome to Sports Day. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
I can't believe it's done and dusted. It seems like only yesterday we spoke.
Yeah, it's a bit crazy to think it's all over now. And, we're seeing everyone off and making sure everyone gets on their plane or to wherever they're going next. But, yeah, it's been a very, busy and exciting, 11 days of Commonwealth Games competition. And it's hard to believe it's over for another 4 years.
Patria, every home nation, when they're a big nation, is expected to top the medal tally. Well, it didn't happen this time. The Australians got the job done. And what's been the feedback over there? Is it a surprise that the home nation maybe didn't finish number one?
Oh, look, I think, obviously they would have been striving for that top spot on the medal tally, but, didn't quite get there. But it was a great competition, and it certainly wasn't a runaway win for us. There was pressure the whole time, you know, and at one stage I wasn't sure if we were far enough in front on the tally to keep that number one spot. But, you know, we had some really great performances across the board from, you know, many different sports. And, you know, it's that real team effort that got us across the line. And, you know, I'm sure the English team would be disappointed, but, you know, at the same time, I did read an article in the paper about from their chef to mission, Mark England, telling me how successful their team had been, and it's such a young team and it's such an exciting team. So I'm sure there'll be great things in store for their athletes, as there are for our athletes as well.
Patrie, I'm going to ask you, what was the highlight performance for you of the games? And I say this with knowledge of your sporting background, that maybe there's water involved, but maybe not. Just tell us.
Oh, look, you know, there's outstanding results across a number of different sports, to be honest. And, you know, I was able to be sort of on the sidelines to witness some of them. And obviously, you look at Emma McKeon becoming the most successful athlete at Commonwealth Games ever, and that, you know, how impressive that achievement is. You know, I saw, you know, probably one of my favourite moments of the games was when Ellen Ryan in the women's pairs, the lawn bowls final, you know, won the event for them on the last bowl. So it was just absolutely gripping to watch and so exciting, and really great advertisement for the sport of lawn bowls. And you know, there's a great run from Ollie Hoare in that 1500 metres. You know, that's going to be on the highlight reels for many years to come, I think. So that's just to name a few. There's been many, you know, absolutely outstanding moments. But, you know, it's not just about the medals and the records and all that sort of stuff. It's also about how our athletes and our team conducts itself. And on the whole, it's been absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, it has been. And look, did you have a conscious effort of actually getting, because some of the athletes returned pretty well straight away once they'd finished their events? I know the Rugby Sevens girls, and I know that they've now got to head off to South Africa for their World Cup. But we saw athletes returning throughout the games. Was that always something that was planned?
Yeah, that's something that was part of our sort of COVID protocols. Obviously, COVID's still a significant factor for all of us, no matter where we're living around the world. So, you know, we knew that was going to be challenging here for us as well. And, you know, with the risk associated with our, you know, team members once they'd finished going out into the public, whether to be to spectate sport or to go out and have a meal or a dance or whatever it might have been, you know, the risk was just too high. And, you know, one thing I think we're very proud of is that we were able to get all of our athletes to the start line. Not one of our athletes missed their event because of COVID. And that's no mean feat in these times.
Well, it was amazing that one of our girls actually took the cricket field with COVID. And they couldn't really celebrate the way they would have liked to when she took that catch, but she was still part of the game and part of the winning team, which is great.
Yeah, look, I suppose it just goes to show, you know, that we are gradually moving on and learning to live with COVID and things. And it's certainly, you know, a lot different over here than it is at home. They're sort of more advanced on that front. But, yeah, look, it was great that all of our athletes were able to participate in their events. And, you know, it's really a testament to the work our support, you know, our medical team did and our COVID support team did to make that happen. So, yeah, look, it's been amazing games, and you know, whilst we would have loved to have all of our team members here right till the end, on this occasion, unfortunately, it was not possible. But you know, hopefully in 2026, you know, we'll be living in a different world by then. Hopefully not so impacted by COVID, and you know, we can have that games experience that we all want, which is to stay through to the end and enjoy the games for what it is.
Patrie, in line of sight now is Paris and the Olympics, but you mentioned 2026 coming back to Victoria for the first time since 2006, regional Victoria, mind you. Any chatter amongst athletes, and I'm sure you know their thoughts, that the Olympics is next step, but the home Com Games again, if they're in the back end of their career, is very tempting?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, it's been an interesting last 4 or 5 years in international sport with the delay to Tokyo Olympics and Paralympics and Commonwealth Games, you know, virtually, you know, less than a year after. So, and now Paris is only 2 years away for the Olympics and Paralympics. And, And then, you know, you'll get a lot of people pushing through to that event. And then, you know, another 2 years to a home Commonwealth Games might just be enough to tempt those that are towards the end of their career to hang on a bit longer. So and that's one of the beauties about, you know, hosting a Games is it does keep people in the sport for longer. And, you know, on top of all the other wonderful benefits that, you know, hosting a game has to, you know, either the host city or the host region.
Chatting to Petrea Thomas, Commonwealth Games Chief de Mission here on Sports Day. Now, looking ahead to 2026, are you still remaining in your role? Does your role extend that far or is it for a shorter period of time? How does that part work?
My role, I was appointed into this role for this specific game. So, look, you know, I'd love to go around again if they'd have me, but that's not my decision. So, but, you know, it's been a great honour leading this team and, you know, regardless of what happens in the future, it's been an absolute privilege.
And what did you learn being in the role, given that it was your first experience at it, and some maybe things that you can bring of great benefit back to Australia for 4 years' time?
Yeah, look, I think, you know, I was fortunate enough to work alongside Steve Monteghetti at the previous three games when he was chef de mission, and I learned a lot from him and, you know, and the way he sort of, like, approached it. And whilst I'm a different person to Steve, obviously, but, you know, that experience was really great. So there wasn't too many surprises. But, you know, it's always about, you know, finding your own way in a role, and I think I've been able to do that okay. So, yeah, look, it's been awesome, and, you know, hopefully, you know, certainly it's, you know, I think it's given me a lot more confidence, self-confidence as well, to, you know, in that I am capable and can do a good job at these types of things. So that's, personally, that's been really, really amazing experience for me. And, you know, hopefully I can, you know, take that back to you know, the sports system in Australia and contribute and, you know, in any way I can.
And so, given that experience, what would you say to people, Petrea, about the Comm Games not having the same profile, the same amount of interest that it once had maybe 20, 30 years ago? I'm sure you've got a different view with the athletes in mind here.
Oh, look, absolutely. You know, there's always chatter about the Comm Games and are they still relevant and stuff, but I think you only have to be involved to understand how relevant they are. You know, our athletes love coming to the Commonwealth Games and competing as part of that broader team. And, you know, from what I understand, the coverage back home has been outstanding. People have been really engaged with it, despite the time zone differences. They've been really engaged with it, and it's been fantastic. And I know, you know, we've certainly felt that support from afar over here.
Thank you very much, Petrea, for joining us again here on Sports Day. We appreciate your time and good luck. Take care.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
Petrea Thomas joining us on the back of the Commonwealth Games. All thanks to Kia, Australia's most wanted, the Kia EV6 and Kia Sportage, the cars of the year.
I wonder if we'll have a parade or a reception for our athletes when they come home. We obviously have a habit of doing that when they do well, and they have had exceptional success. Particularly, we know the hockey teams have done really well, our netballers, and of course individually. So fantastic Commonwealth Games campaign for so many who hail from this part of Australia.
Yeah, and if you look at our West Australians that were involved, of course, Stacey Marinkovic and Courtney Bruce, when it comes to the netball court, Aaron Zalewski, Tom Wickham and Jake Harvey, who are part of that magnificent gold medal winning Kookaburras team. So that's been a lot of success there. And a record number of West Australian athletes competed in Birmingham Skeet. They came home with 43 medals, 19 gold, 15 silver, 9 bronze. And that was a wonderful effort by 35 athletes, all from WA, inspiring us.
They might have beaten a couple of other nations on their own, WA. They said we should secede. Maybe we've done okay.
Exactly. As we clear a commitment, come back on the other side. Tennille Peschel, Perth Scorcher. She signed a new contract extension. We'll have a chat to her next.
Sports Day, thanks to Kia. Kia EV6 and Sportage, cars of the year. And Toolkit Depot, gear up for winter at Toolkit Depot.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Fantastic to have this young lady on your radio. Tennille Peschel is the lady we're talking about, signing on with our Perth Scorchers in the WBBL. And why wouldn't you too? A contract extension for a couple of years, 39 wickets, an average of 28.6 so far in 56 WBBL appearances. Tennille, welcome to Sports Day. How are you going?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
We're terrific. 2-year contract extension, that must feel comforting.
It is. Super excited to be taking a part of the WBBL again underneath the Scorchers. I think they're a great organisation to be a part of and they really make you feel like home.
What about the success that the team has had? Obviously, it's great to attract players, keep players and have that vibe going into another season that you know how to get to the top of the mountain.
Yeah, I think last year, obviously winning the WBBL was awesome. I think we're just all hungry to keep that sustained success and can't wait to build on the achievement that we achieved last year. So,
now, there would have been no chance of you leaving anyway, would there? I mean, you know, like given your background being a local girl from here in Western Australia, strutting your stuff, family and friends are here, you wouldn't have been considering going anywhere else, would you?
There may have been a slight consideration, but I think my heart knew exactly where I needed to stay. So
it's amazing, though.
Cliche as that sounds.
No, that's fine. And I mean, you're being honest. But I think the most amazing part is now not only for you know, the guys, but the girls as well. The opportunities that have now been created in cricket. It was something that a decade ago, maybe not even that long ago, that has created a whole new world. And there's more opportunity, which is fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. I think if you're always looking for that opportunity, you never know what obviously other teams can offer you, and the path that you can take. Sometimes it may not be obviously that opportunity, maybe equal opportunity, but you're looking for a new direction to excel your game for such. And I think that's what I kind of had the thoughts in my mind, is like I may get equal opportunity, but I think, yeah, am I okay with cruising along this, or can I take my game to that next level to be exposed to higher honours?
Now, I'm led to believe your mum introduced you to the game. Is that right? You're about 15 years of age. How did that come to be? Did you embrace cricket or was it a slow burn?
No. So I actually, mum used to play indoor cricket down at our local indoor cricket centre in Port Kennedy. And we had family friends that owned the indoor cricket centre. So cricket for me was brought through indoor cricket from a very young age, and there was a restriction on when you're actually allowed to play. So I think it was 14 before you're allowed to play any kind of competitive indoor cricket. So that's kind of where I grew, I guess, the love for cricket. And then I didn't really find outdoor cricket till I was a little bit older. When I hit high school, I was a part of a cricket program at Rockingham Senior High. So yeah, for me, mum showed me cricket, and I guess, yeah, until I was at that age, I was running around in my pyjamas watching her play.
Terrific. Now, you're listed as an all-rounder. Would you consider yourself more a batting or bowling all-rounder?
Look, I would like to think I could do both like equal, but I'm definitely going to have to say bowler.
Yeah, well, the batting average is about 11.5, isn't it, at the moment?
I was trying to.
You want to be getting better than that. Yeah, that's it. Well, that's true. You need to be promoted up the order. Maybe you should just go to the coach, say, hey, coach, what about putting me up the order? It's okay to be opening the bowling. What about giving me a crack at opening the batting as well? Hey, one thing, yeah, I wanted to know, you made your debut for Western Australia in 2013 against Queensland, and then you spent a period of away from the game, I believe, and didn't return till about 2016-17 for the WNCL season. What did you do for that period of time? Did you change tack?
No, I actually, I guess for me, when I was in 2000, when I made obviously my debut, I think I stayed around for a season. I think I was young, and I kind of realised, I was just out of school, just moved out of home. So I think I kind of realised that, I guess, the environment for me was a little bit confronting, and I wasn't ready to uphold the standards that they obviously wanted of me, and I didn't enjoy myself. So I thought, being somewhere that I don't enjoy myself, I'll just take that away. And I chose to step away from cricket. I still played club cricket, not all the time, but I was still in it just to reinforce, one, do I actually love this sport? Do I want to, you know, thrive in this sport? But I obviously still had indoor cricket on the sideline where I was thriving in. So it was kind of just trying to find where I wanted to take my life and grow. I tried everything. I was applying for the police force. I did a bit of an apprenticeship, worked at Rebel Sport. So it was just getting a bit of life experience, I guess. And then, when I got the offer to come back, I'll admit I was quite hesitant. But I think I was like, right, if I'm going to come back, I'm going to give it everything that I've got. So
but thinking,
I am thankful now that I actually did come back and did give myself the opportunity to do so.
And thinking back to that time, though, you were being so young, you probably had a bit of peer group pressure too to party and go and have some fun and just finishing school and all that sort of stuff. I'm sure that was a factor.
Yeah, a little bit. I wasn't the party animal, the 20-year-old living life to the fullest. I was a little bit of a hermit crab, still am, but it was just other experiences, I guess, yeah.
Forget being a hermit. Are you a sponge when it comes to the likes of Sophie Devine, of course, New Zealand superstar, and Beth Mooney, who scored 61 in that Comm Games gold medal victory? You must just be able to just get so much knowledge from them in the Scorchers camp.
Yeah, it's really good to obviously pick their brains like that, and I guess having Marizane Kapp as well in our squad, you can learn so much. You just got to be able to be confident to ask those questions. I think some people may get a little bit like starstruck, if that makes sense. So I guess, yeah, if you're open enough to ask them questions, absolutely, I'd become a sponge.
Well, when you star in the final the way that you did, removing a couple of the key playmakers in the opposition team, you win that final, there's no doubt that you would be very satisfied with the mark that you've made on the game. Thank you very much for sharing some time on Sports Day tonight, and all the best. Take care.
No worries. Thank you very much for having me.
Tennille Peschel here on Sports Day. Great to have her on the program, and I'm excited for what she continues to do. Really good, efficient bowler for our team. For the Toolkit Depot, gear up for winter with the biggest range of top brand outdoor power gear at the Toolkit Depot. We'll come back and have a chat to Johnny Slavich next as we round up before Todd Johnson takes you through with the night shift until midnight.
Sports Day, thanks to Kia. Kia EV6 and Sportage, cars of the year. And Toolkit Depot, gear up for winter at Toolkit Depot.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Time now for Green to Green's Barrandow Day, because little things are everything. John Slavich joins us. Welcome, mate.
G'day, boys. Thank you.
Now, the Commonwealth Games done and dusted, and Christina Christic winning a gold medal, eh?
Absolutely fantastic for old Chrissy. Look, it was definitely one for the history books. The Jackaroos have gone to England many times and have failed, for lack of a better word. But this time, they've come around with, I think, three times they got to stand on the dais. And our very own Christina Christie's got to get a gold medal in the pairs. She played sensationally, especially in the middle part of the game when the backs were against the wall. She really did stand and deliver, and is one of the examples of what you can do. Persistence over the years, especially playing for Australia. So congratulations to Chrissy, and also Ellen winning the doubles, singles and the pairs.
Yeah, great results. So closer to home, what about the Mount Lawley Winter Fours?
Yes, it's done and run over a wet, chilly Friday night and Saturday. And the winners were from Wagen, Holt, Wannaberg, and get this, Schnigs and Schnigs. They both won five games, plus 29. Nichols, Emma, Essig, and Rhodes, also five wins, plus 28 in second. And to round out the top three was Barry, Bazant, McGregor, and Fewing. So with five wins, plus 25. So well done to all the winners.
And Johnny, what's up next?
Yeah, look, we've got the Bassendean Almost Spring Fours. Starting on Sunday the 28th of August, so please get into the Bassendean Bowling Club there and get your team nominated. And also, this is a special one out for Martha, who bailed me up at the Mount Lawley Bowling Club, told me that I don't do enough for the ladies' side of bowls. So Martha, as promised, the Marine Personal Funerals, proudly sponsored by the ladies at the Scarborough Bowling Club. Morning tea, lunch and nibbles provided. Two games of 15 ends, $80 per team, so please get in there at the Scarborough Bowling Club and support all the ladies.
Brilliant, Johnny. Thank you very, very much for joining us again tonight, and we'll have a chat to you same time next week, mate. Take care.
Thanks, boys.
Good on you. John Slavich here on Sports Day. Thanks to Barrandow Day's Green to Green. Don't miss out on the little moments, because the little things are everything. After the news here at 8 o'clock on 6PR, it will be time for Todd Johnston with the night shift. He will take you right through until midnight, and Mark Reddings and I will be back from 6 o'clock tomorrow for another edition of Sports Day. We will see you then. Have a great night.